So you're powering along so far in the year 2024. You've got a month behind you, and you've made some of those New Year's resolutions, and a lot of us have looked back on them, and we have crashed and burned, and we have failed miserably on some of those. And then what happens is often we ask ourselves, why? You know, you really had all the good heart, all the right intentions of trying to do better, maybe do better with your Bible study, maybe do better with your prayer life, or whatever the circumstance or situation may be, and you look back and you didn't do a really good job. Now, some of us, it's because we didn't get any accountability in on that resolution that we made before. We didn't have somebody watching us. And you got to remember, we always do better when we know somebody is watching us. And so often what will happen is we won't get some accountability in our situations because we don't want to have to explain why we didn't do so well in those particular areas. But sometimes there's a level of frustration, and you sit back and you say, maybe it was something you were trying to maybe kick a bad habit or whatever the circumstance or situation may be, and you just can't seem to overcome that. And it frustrates you. And that's often the reason why you don't have accountability, because you've maybe tried it before and failed, and you've done this repeatedly, and you don't want to have to answer to anybody else, but yet you get frustrated with yourself. And you're sitting there thinking, how am I going to overcome this sin? Or how am I going to break this bad habit? I get off to a good start, and then all of a sudden, everything falls apart. Well, if that's you, I've got good news for you. Today, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 1 John chapter 4, as well as 1 John chapter 5, and it's called The Overcoming Life. So grab your Bible and come on back. We'll see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of 1 John. Not John's Gospel, but 1 John. Now, if you're wondering where that is, you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, then the book of Jude, then Revelation. So it's on over toward the end of your Bible. But I asked that question a little while ago and said, you know, how are you doing with maybe breaking some of those bad habits or those resolutions that you set earlier in this year? And some of us are really, really hard on ourselves. I've often said that usually the hardest person on you is you. And so we're a little frustrated with ourselves along the way for not having done well in something. And I actually had one guy say to me, he goes, well, I'm just a born loser. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's no such a thing as a born loser in God's family. Folks, believers are equipped to win. Now, did you notice what I said? I said believers are equipped to win out. I promise you that. There are divine resources that are at our disposal for every battle, every circumstance, and every situation that we come into. There really, really is victory in Jesus. That's one of the old hymns. Actually, it's one of my favorite old hymns. It's called Victory in Jesus, and there truly is. Now, as we go through this life, there's a lot of things that come at us, but as far as enemies that we face, there are at least three powerful enemies, three that we want to kind of discuss today. One of those enemies are spiritual adversaries. They come at us spiritually. They try to tear us down. They try to make the Lord look bad through us. There are spiritual battles that we have along the way. That's one of the types. Another type are reoccurring anxieties, things that bother us. Now, I've said before that faith and fear are completely opposites of one another. So if you're living in fear, then obviously you're not living in faith. So the second kind of adversary we face are reoccurring anxieties. And then one of the third that we're going to discuss today is the world's allurement. The world is throwing so many things at us today, trying to tempt us, trying to get us off guard, trying to pull us away from the Lord, trying to make us sin. And man, I'll tell you one thing, that allurement looks really, really good at times. So the thing I want us to know and understand today is that we truly can overcome these things. We have the ability through Christ, not in and of ourselves, but through Christ, to be able to win out, to overcome as we go forward. Now, I'm going to use some various selections out of the book of 1 John chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 5. But I want to go ahead and start off with our Bible reading today, particularly in 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to look at the first couple of verses in there. So 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children. You have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we ask that you lead us, guide us, that you give us help as we contemplate your word. Lord, we pray the Holy Spirit would truly come to life with the passages that we will look at today. Teach us, Lord. Teach us that we are more than just a lump going through life, Lord, that you truly have created us to be able to win the victories and to overcome. We can't do it ourselves, but Lord, through your guidance and help, we can. As always, Lord, I pray that as your messenger for these moments, that you would empower me, that the words that are spoken and the words that come forth truly would resonate in the hearts and the lives of each and every listener. And Lord, we'll praise you for it as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, man, we have some great verses there. Some of you have probably heard those within your lifetime, whether you've been in or around church in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But one of the things that we're trying to encounter as we go forward in our lives is being able to overcome our adversaries. Now, notice what chapter 4 and verse 4 told us of our text. It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Spiritual adversaries are always active in and around us. Now, you got to be careful. I've said before that if you're a born-again believer, you cannot be possessed by a demon. You can be oppressed by one, and there's a difference between those two. Now, that's a Bible study for a different day. But you can, as a believer, you can be oppressed but not possessed by demons. But spiritual adversaries are always active in our midst. They're trying to trip us up. They're trying to throw temptations at us. All these different things. And one of the things they do is they're speaking through false prophets. There are many, many false prophets in our society today. And some people sit back and say, well, how can you determine who is a false prophet and who is not? And the scripture tells us very clearly right here. Is it of God? Does it contradict the word of God? Let me make you a promise. If something that somebody is prophesying or preaching in your midst is an opposite of what the word of God is telling you, then I can tell you that it is not of God. If it is of God, then the word will confirm it. That's one of the first and foremost ways that you can tell whether something is true and right and spiritual at the right degree. You know, how is it that people get led astray? In our day and age, they do through false prophets. They go and they'll attend maybe a church or whatever else, and they'll say, well, my preacher said this. Yeah, one of the things I've always said as pastor, specifically here at Central Baptist Church, is, you know, no matter what is said from that pulpit, you sift it through God's word. You have got to allow it to be sifted through the word. If it's not of the word, then you need to start making some noise. If something that I or any other pastor preaches from a pulpit is not in keeping with what the word of God says, then you've got a problem. A red flag should go up. It should alert you that something needs to be said and something needs to be done. Okay, now it's interesting too that in verse 3, he mentions the Antichrist. Now I want us to spend just a moment on that. In verse 3, he said, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." Now, some people would sit back and look at that particular passage and say, well, wait a minute, that passage right there just said that the Antichrist was in the world. Now, you have to understand, there is a physical Antichrist that will be coming. He will arise on the scene after the rapture and during the time of that 7-year tribulation period. But you also have to understand that there is a person that is in the Antichrist, but there are also things that are anti, meaning against Christ. Well, you look in our world today, there are a lot of things that are anti-Christ in our midst and in our society as we live day to day. You can see that. So that's what it's talking about when it says that, particularly in verse 4, where it says, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, that's talking about the person. The spirit of the Antichrist, the person, is now already in the world. He's not physically empowered yet. The Antichrist is not physically empowered yet because the rapture hasn't taken place. But the spirit, you know, what he is all about is in and around us and has been since sin entered into this world. So that's something that we need to understand. Now, our adversaries are deceptive and they are very powerful. In Ephesians chapter 6, the word calls it the wiles of the devil. Also in Ephesians chapter 6, we learn about the principalities and powers, the rulers of darkness of this world. They are very actively involved. And if you want to sit back and say, oh, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that there are evil spirits in the world doing these things. Folks, you have been deceived because the Word of God clearly tells us that they are present. Okay? So why can we overcome these powerful adversaries? We've talked about, you know, what sorts of power that they have, and we know that in and of ourselves we can't defeat them. But so how is it that we can overcome these powerful adversaries in whatever shape, form, or fashion that they approach us in this life? Well, here's why. Because our Bible tells us that the one who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. Our Lord has conquered. See, the Holy Spirit is the one that is in us. Now, that's part of the reason why I can give you greater proof that a born-again believer cannot be possessed by a demon. The reason why is because a believer is already possessed by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not going to share his residence with any evil whatsoever. So the Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit is what we receive when we've trusted in Christ to be with us, to be our guide, to be our teacher, to be the one to warn us along the way, the one to show us the way of escape in the midst of temptation that we might be able to bear it. Okay? The believer's body is God's temple. You know what the word says? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to do what we can and should to be able to take care of that. So here's something I want you to know and understand today, that when it comes to these temptations, when it comes to the evil, when it comes to everything that's around us, here is something that we can do. We can expect to overcome. We need to have that expectation that we can overcome the wiles that the devil throws at us simply because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world, okay? So what else do we see? How do we overcome our anxieties? Now, I want to drop you down to a verse that I didn't read as part of our text, but it's chapter 4. It's down in verse 18, and this is what it says. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. Do you get that? There is no fear in love. You know, responding to God's love is what brings us faith. It's trusting in him. It's growing and it's stretching that faith that we trust him even when we don't see what's taking place and what's going on. Notice what I said a moment ago. I said responding to God's love brings faith. What is faith? You've heard me hammer this for the past several weeks, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that means believing in something even when we can't see it. It's trusting in God's word. It's trusting in God to be everything that he said that he would be to us, even when the way doesn't seem very clear to us along the way. We get in circumstances and situations that often feel impossible. And yet we sit back and say, Lord, you know, I trust you. I trust you to bring me through. And I can tell you that in my life, there has not been one single time that God has failed to show up. He shows up every single time. He does it in a greater way than I ever could have expected it, and brings about victory in what looks like certain defeat. Okay? Faith and fear are completely opposite of each other. So if you are fearful in the middle of a situation, then you're not exercising faith that God gives you. You're not trusting Him to be what He said He would be and who He said He would be within His Word. Now, perfect love, according to our scripture, casts out all fear. Knowing that we are loved makes us unafraid. You know what? When I sit back and I think about that, and I think about all that God has done for me, that runs fear completely out of the circumstances and situations. This perfect love brought Jesus Christ to the cross. This perfect love let Him go into a borrowed tomb, and that perfect love brought Him out of the grave on the third day, and that perfect love is what provides the saving grace for you and I. But not only the saving grace, but also the direction to be able to make it through day by day, to overcome what evil and what the world throws at us on a continual basis, not every now and then, every single day. Saving love is also keeping love. The love that saved us is also the love that keeps us in the midst of our circumstances and our situations, okay? Now, notice the Word tells us that fear brings torment. God's perfect love is what brings tranquility to the life. Stop being tormented by fear. The Lord tells us multiple times in His Word that He has not given us the spirit of fear. So if God has not given us the spirit of fear, then where does that spirit come from? Where does that fear come from? Well, if we know it doesn't come from God, we know it comes from Satan. And that is perfectly clear. So you're either catering to the fear or you're catering to and accepting the love that God has put in your heart. We overcome fear by resting in God's perfect love for each and every one of us, okay? Man, what a great promise to hang on to, okay? Now, overcoming the world means that we have to overcome the world's allures. Now, I want to carry over into chapter 5 for just a moment, and I want us to hit verses 1 through 4. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 says, "Whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments." Verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Did you get that? Let me read it again. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So overcoming the world's allurements are done so by trusting in Him. We are born again through faith in Jesus Christ. Remember what the scriptures tell us. It tells us that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? The new birth is what equips us to overcome the world. See, the world holds many allurements. When you think about that, what's an allurement? Something that draws us, something that attracts us. And let me give you three of the top few that we have along the way. Some of those things are simply, one of them is the lust of the flesh. That's one thing. How many times do we find ourselves in a circumstance or in a situation where we're looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at? Maybe not only are we looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at, we have desires. We want what somebody else has. We covet. These are things that are the lust of the flesh. What about the lust of the eye? What about those things that we know and the things that we see that we know don't please God? I've always remembered it this way. One of the things that my dad told me when I was younger, he said, never go anywhere or do anything that you couldn't take God or your mother. And I know why he said that, because oftentimes we would let God slide because we feel like He's just not quite there with us because we can't see Him. But you certainly wouldn't have Mama on your arm when you went to some of those places and did some of the things that you did. So how true is that? Don't go any place or do anything that you couldn't take God or your mother. Remember, the world holds those allurements of the flesh, allurements of the eye, and also the pride of life. You know, it's the Word tells us that pride goeth before the fall. And pride was what got Satan in the situation that he was in, that pride that he had. And folks, you know, sometimes we have pride that we don't even see. Maybe other people see that in us, and maybe there are folks that can talk to us and tell us. I want to encourage you to listen to somebody. And you know what? If you really want to know the truth, find that person in your life and ask them when it comes down to it. If you are a prideful person, and tell them that you want them to answer you truthfully, okay? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Many of you have heard that before. That's another one of the old hymns. Remember, faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. That's how you're going to overcome in this life. That is how you are going to be able to make it from day to day. That is how you're going to be victorious in Christ, is simply to be victorious in Christ. Your faith in Him is what will overcome the world. That's the only way you're going to make it. Now, let's think about those resolutions that you made coming into this new year. Let's think about some of the ones that you're not doing so well on. Yeah, let me ask you, is faith bringing the victory? Well, obviously, if you haven't overcome it, then there's no victory there. And you're sitting back saying, well, you know what? I'm frustrated because I really want to see a change in this area of my life. Well, the way that's going to happen is your faith is going to have to increase. You're going to have to apply that faith to those circumstances and situations so that faith can truly be the victory that overcomes the world in your life. And you know what the great thing about it is? God promises that to each and every one of His children. And not only that, He also promises rewards for those who overcome. The book of Revelation tells us in chapter 2, verse 11, also in verse 17, Revelation 26, chapter 3, verse 5, also verses 12 and 21 of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation is full of explaining rewards for those who overcome, and it's a call to commitment for those who long to overcome. Now, notice what I said there, for those who long to overcome. Is that really your desire to overcome the world, to be what it is that God wants us to be? I hope and pray that it really is. I hope that Holy Spirit is giving you the desire to win out, to truly see victory in your life as you overcome the world. And notice, what is this passage? This passage is a call to commitment to those who long to be overcomers. Now, yeah, again, you can look back probably on some of those things that maybe you have failed at in this new year. And when you failed, you sat back and said, you know, I really wasn't committed to getting through it. I gave it some lip service, but I wasn't really committed, because if I was committed, I would have put some things in place. If I was committed, I prayed more about it. If I was committed, it would be ever present on my mind. And if I was committed, I wouldn't be so easily swayed to the other side. I wouldn't be so easily drawn to the allurements of this life. And you know what? It's not too late. If you're hearing my voice, the Lord says, I want you to commit to me. I want you to do so by faith. And I love what He says in verse 2 of chapter 5. Notice it says, but this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In other words, God is saying, this is what I want you. If you're one of my children, I have an expectation for you to keep my commandments. I have an expectation for you to follow the precepts of the Word of God that are given in your life. And by the way, yeah, it's not that difficult, because you and I as believers have the Holy Spirit that will, I'll call it, translate or enlighten us to the Word of God as we read it. The Holy Spirit is our teacher, and the Holy Spirit is our guide. And because of that, faith can provide victory that we might truly be able to overcome the world. Are you ready to pick up and take that challenge? I trust so. Listen, don't let the past month keep you down if you have failed. Today is a new day. Start today once again to make strides, to trust God to get you through, that you might truly overcome the world. Okay, let me give you what we're going to be discussing next week, and what your scripture readings for this week will be. This week, I'm asking you once again to go back into the book of 1 John and chapter 5 in particular. And next week, we're going to discuss the questions about eternal life from the book of 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. So kind of brush up on that so that you'll have that opportunity to be ready when we come together in our Bible study next Wednesday. And we look forward to being able to have you with us as we gather together in the name of our Lord and Savior and under the blanket of the Word of God. Let me pray with you before we get out of here. Father, I want to come to you now, and I want to thank you for the fact that you don't expect us to try to battle evil alone. In fact, Lord, you tell us that you are the one who will incur the battle. You will fight for us. You will go forward. But Lord, we have to trust you to do so. We have to put some things in place. Lord, you're asking us to do our part to flee from evil so that the evil one will depart from us. Lord, help us not to be drawn by the allurements of the world, because they're all around us. Lord, help us to be steadfast and true. Lord, help us to be students of your word. Help us in all that we do, Lord, to not only read your word, but to apply it to our lives and follow you, that we might be true overcomers in this particular day and age. And Lord, we'll be happy that we did that when we stand before you. Lord, give us grace and give us strength for the journey. And Lord, this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen, folks, again, I want to thank you for dropping by for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Again, we want to invite you to join us if you don't have a place of worship and you're close to our area. We are Central Baptist Church, located at 1715 Highway 68 North. In the town of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our services start at 10:45. We would love to have you join us as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. I hope to see you Sunday. If not, then I'll catch you right here this same time next week as we once again endeavor a look at God's Word to help us get through our daily lives. God bless you and have a great rest of your week.